Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at St. Mark's. Each one of us came to God's house today with our own unique set of challenges and burdens that we may be carrying in our lives. But the Word of God today offers encouragement when we realize those burdens and when we feel the weight of those burdens. God's Word encourages us to see that God hears our concerns, and He blesses us through them, sometimes in ways that we don't fully understand, perhaps ways we won't fully understand till we are with our Lord forever in heaven. But today we see God reveal Himself, Jesus reveal Himself as God by the way He overcomes the challenges we face in our lives. After we sing the first hymn, we will follow the order of worship that begins on page 4 of your service booklet. We open our service with hymn 238 in the red hymnal. May God bless us through His Word this morning.
Hasten to save me, O God. The glory of Christ is revealed. Let us worship Him. For the Lord.
Please be seated. Please join with the cantor to sing the psalm of the day, Psalm 103. As the Old Testament believer Job faced problems and difficulties that you and I can hardly begin to relate to, we see him pour out his lament and concerns to God in the first lesson for today's service, a reading from Job chapter 7. Does not man have hard service on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired man, like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wages? So I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss till dawn. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. This is the word of the Lord. In those moments when we feel like Job and can relate to his lament, St. Paul encourages us with these words from today's second lesson, that in all circumstances in life, even in the most difficult of life's circumstances, God is still there to bless us and guide us and strengthen us. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Out of respect for the words and works of Jesus in the gospel, please stand. The second portion of today's gospel account will also be the basis for this morning's sermon, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 1. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn number 93.
Thank you.
I'm sure glad I wasn't Job. If you ever think you're having a bad day, it's probably a good idea to read through the book of Job in the Old Testament. If you know the story of this Old Testament believer, even if you can't directly relate, you can certainly appreciate his words of lament and frustration that we heard in today's first scripture lesson. In a single day, Job lost it all. He lost his family, he lost his possessions, he lost his wealth, and then not too long after that, he lost his health. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends, if we could even call them that, his friends said, Job, you know, you must have done something because you got a lot of bad karma. You must have deserved this. No wonder he sounded so full of frustration and sorrow and angst in today's first lesson. None of us have experienced the enormity of misery that Job felt. But I'm pretty sure I can say that all of us have had moments in life, sometimes more often than we care to have, moments that are filled with disappointment and frustration and problems and chaos. Doctor's appointments and children's activities and work deadlines pull us in all sorts of different directions at the same time. This unexpected expense and this expected bill stretch our wallets beyond their ability to stretch. We lose loved ones and friends to death. And then we have our own health problems that reminds us of our own mortality. People who should be our friends sometimes don't act like they're our friends, and that only adds to the stress of life. We don't need something superficial, like our favorite sports team losing a close game, to make our lives have chaos. Not that I can relate to that statement. We don't need something superficial from the sports page to make our lives feel like they are filled with disappointment. Our filled to the brim schedules, our ever-tightening wallets, and especially our terminal sinful condition all bring chaos into our lives, and sometimes that chaos is more than a bit overwhelming. But as Christians, you and I realize that we don't worship a God who is some otherworldly mystical creature who cannot relate to our experience. As Christians, you and I realize that we worship and believe in a God who actually came into this chaotic world in the person of Jesus Christ. He entered into this world and endured all of the same disappointments and struggles and chaos that we endure. If there is anybody who can relate to the difficulties of life, it is none other than the very God in whom we believe. In the gospel for today, we see Jesus' life filled with chaos, so much so that he takes a break and retreats from it all in our reading. Given how our lives are so often filled with chaos, maybe we would do well to see how Jesus dealt with it in his ministry. The lessons that we will learn this morning will not give us techniques for time management or multitasking. No, the lessons that we will learn, Christ's lessons for chaotic lives, are much simpler, but much more important. Come to God in prayer. Come and hear the gospel. Jesus appears that he has achieved rock star status in the gospel for today's service. Today's reading comes right after the reading that we heard last Sunday. Last Sunday, we heard about him preaching in the city of Capernaum. And there, as the synagogue service was being conducted, as Jesus was preaching, a man comes in who is demon-possessed, and Jesus casts out the demon before the entire synagogue crowd. This is in the days before text messages and Facebook and Twitter. And yet the word got around pretty fast. The word got around pretty fast about this magnificent miracle-working demon-dispelling preacher. After the Sabbath was over, after, according to Jewish law, it was now legal to walk longer distances, the crowds came to Jesus to heal their sick and to drive out those who had demons, drive out the demons of those who were demon-possessed. From all accounts, it looks like Jesus has achieved rock star status as all these people seek him out. Had they figured it out? Had they figured out that he was the Messiah that everyone was waiting for centuries, even if they didn't fully understand what the Messiah was all about? Jesus' popularity in and around Capernaum had to have been huge at this point. Everyone wants to see him. And so Jesus does the last thing we would expect him to do, and probably the last thing we would have done. He retreats from it all. He escapes from it all. Very early in the morning, Mark tells us, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This attention he's getting is certainly not a bad thing. He is the Savior, after all. He wants people to believe in him. But the attention must have gotten to the chaotic side of things. And so the Son of God rises before the rising of the sun. And he retreats before the crowds are able to form on Monday morning. And he finds time just to pray. God the Father and God the Son speaking with one another. Maybe that seems kind of odd. Jesus is God. He's fully divine. Why does he need to retreat? Why does he need to pray? But Jesus, the Son of God, is also fully 100% human. Just as God the Father invites us to bring our prayers to him and requests to him, so God the Son, who had become a human being just like one of us, turns to his heavenly Father for strength in his state of humility. He lays his concerns before his Father, and he trusts in the good and gracious plan that his Father set before him from before time began. This was a regular practice for Jesus. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, we find out Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. But let's think about this for just a moment. This is Jesus' way of operating. He retreats from the crowds and chaos. He escapes from the attention and the popularity, all so that he can have some quiet morning moments in communion with his heavenly Father. He turns to his Father in prayer and casts his concerns on the one who sent him into this world with concern for lost souls. But this is Jesus. Jesus is God. Why does God need to pray to God? Doesn't make sense. And Jesus has a to-do list that's astronomically longer than the to-do list that we have on our worst day. And oh, by the way, Jesus' to-do list starts and ends with saving the world from sin and hell. Kind of a big list. Kind of a big job. If there's anybody who doesn't have the time to pray, if there's anybody who really doesn't need to pray because he's God in the first place, it's Jesus. And yet Jesus prays, and he makes it his practice to pray. In his humble state, he was dependent on his Father for all things, and so he turns to his Father in prayer at all times. What's on the top of your to-do list this week? Are you facing another week of busyness and chaos? Have you faced too many weeks where the schedule directed you instead of you directing the schedule? You wake up and before your feet hit the floor, you're already an hour behind. And what's the first thing to go when that happens? What's the first thing to go? You gotta save time. What's gonna go? The first thing to go is time with God, studying his word, and praying to him. I know what God says. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'll get recharged then. And besides, God knows what I need even before I pray it. So he'll take care of that, and I'm just going to knock off this to-do list. And meanwhile, there is our Heavenly Father, waiting with open arms to welcome us before his throne and to bring our concerns and requests to him. There is our gracious God, who gives us direct access to him 24/7 And whenever we would call upon him, we will never get a busy signal. And yet so often we say we are too busy to sacrifice even a few moments of our time for the God who invented time and who spans time and eternity. How sad it is when we neglect this gift of prayer and this open invitation from God. But worse is what it reveals about us. People who are tempted to run away from God, people who say that they need no time with God, they are people who not only deserve God to close his throne room for prayer, but to close his throne room and close off his grace to us for all things, for time and eternity. And yet God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Because his perfect Son, who still found time for prayer amidst chaos, not only kept prayer on his to-do list, but Jesus, God's perfect Son, kept your salvation on his to-do list. The Jesus who perfectly and regularly prayed to his Father, trusting in his Father's will, did so even on the cross. There on the cross, where he prayed that his Father would forgive his enemies who were nailing him to the cross. There on the cross, as he prayed to his Father in utter agony and yet accepted his Father's will and accepted his Father's punishment for your sins and mine, there on the cross, as Jesus finally cried out, trusting in his Father and placing his life into his Heavenly Father's hands, his Heavenly Father who had accepted Jesus' perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine. This is the same God who now says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is the God who keeps his throne room open to you, who keeps the doors wide open to you, and invites you to learn Christ's lessons for chaotic lives, to come to him in prayer, to bring your burdens and your requests before his gracious throne. Jesus may have achieved rock star status, but he retreats for prayer. But that rock star status had not retreated with him. Peter and the other disciples start scurrying around trying to find where on earth Jesus went. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." They see the needs of all these people. That's all they can see are the needs. And they hustle around wondering and worrying where Jesus would have disappeared to. Now, before we look at Jesus' reaction, I want to ask you a very, very simple question. This is the kind of question that when I ask it to my kids in catechism class, they have been trained to answer, duh. Really obvious question here. Why did Jesus come into this world? My fifth and sixth graders are going, duh. Jesus came into this world to be our Savior, right? He came to die on the cross to pay the punishment for our sins so you and I wouldn't have to experience it. Jesus came to die for us. He came to be our Savior. He came to be our substitute. That's a very simple answer. That's a very correct answer to that duh question. Why did Jesus come into this world? And yet, at first glance, that painfully obvious question, we realize, is not the answer that Jesus gives us in this reading. He's not denying that, but he's giving another facet that maybe we would have glossed over. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus said that the reason he came into this world was to preach. Part of the task of being the Savior was to be a preacher, an official messenger from heaven above. And in this case, the messenger was the message. For the one who came in this account was not only preaching good news, but by his life and death, he would bring that good news to reality. So Jesus leaves the crowds behind. He leaves Capernaum and his rock star status there behind for now. And he works his way through the neighboring towns and villages so that they too can hear the good news that Jesus has already brought to Capernaum. He traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Perhaps we see Jesus preaching persistently and aggressively in this account, and we think that that's the lesson we need to learn. Keep on preaching and proclaiming. And to be sure, we want to be a congregation. where every one of our members views himself or herself as a missionary in your daily lives. We want to preach. We want to proclaim. But Jesus' particular lesson for chaotic lives here does not add to our schedules, but it relieves our schedules with moments of rest and refreshment for our souls. God, in his wisdom, established the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, a day for the body to rest and a day to gather and hear his word. It's interesting that he who designed the human body actually prescribed a day of rest for the body. But that day of rest for the body was also a day of rest for the soul. God has not mandated a specific day for corporate worship and preaching today, as he did in the Old Testament. But he wants us to hear authoritative preaching from his Son and authoritative preaching about his Son. For the moments when your lives seem like they are filled with chaos, remember that Jesus left the perfect peace of heaven and came into the chaos of this world by his virgin birth. For the moments when your life seems like it's filled with sin and its agonizing consequences, remember that Jesus endured the full flood and fury of God's wrath for you when he died for you on the cross. For the moments when you feel like there is nothing certain in your future, remember that Jesus gave you an eternal certainty attached to his empty grave, which proclaims that someday your grave will also be empty when he raises you to eternal life at his side. For the moments when it seems like there is nothing in this world that you can believe in, remember that the God who came down from heaven has not lied to you once in his word and will never let you down once in this world. Chaos, sin, and uncertainty certainly take their toll in our lives. But none of these things can take away the comfort of Christ's lessons for chaotic lives. Sometimes you just need a break. Friday comes and you just need a break from work. Or the middle of February comes and the students and the teachers could really use that week off of school to be able to recharge and focus on that final haul to the end of the school year. Or you need that family vacation to renew your family bond and to re-energize your body and soul. Life is chaotic, and sometimes we need a break. And just as our bodies need refreshment, so do our souls. Thanks be to God that he has given us that refreshment in his Son. The message of his Son comforts us and forgives us. The blessings of that message open up heaven's throne room to us in prayer, so that we can bring our cares and concerns about life's chaos at any time and know that in prayer we have a God who always turns a listening ear to us. When life seems chaotic, remember Christ's lessons for chaotic lives. Rejoice that in Jesus Christ you have purpose and hope and stability and certainty, that earth's chaos is only temporary, but heaven's joys will last eternally. Amen. Please turn to page 9 in this morning's service booklet as we respond to God's word with the song, "We Praise You, O God." Please join with me to pray the responsive prayer of the church found on page 11 in today's service booklet. Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. We join to sing the sermon hymn number 257. please stand as worship continues on page 12.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Almighty God, you sent your one and only Son as the word of life for our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Help us to believe what the scriptures proclaim about him and do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Good morning again to all of you. A special welcome to the guests who joined us for worship today at St. Mark's. It was our privilege to share Jesus' comfort with you, and we hope that we will have that opportunity again in the weeks to come. As I share the announcements, the ushers will bring forward the television so that we can watch the Wells Connection video at the end of the announcements. Just a couple of things to highlight this morning. We want to extend a sincere thank you to our guest organist today, Mr. Mark Davidson from Waukesha, Wisconsin. If you like that, there's more to come at 4 o'clock. There's a lot more to come at 4 o'clock. Mark, I really appreciated how you made the words of the hymns just jump out at us by your registration, by the sounds that we heard. I think it just helps to... The hymns are preaching to us, and I think that just really helped him preach even more. So thank you for sharing the gospel musically with us today. You know, the Super Bowl was last week. There's rain in the forecast today. What are you going to do this afternoon? Come to an organ recital at 4 o'clock. There'll be some hymn singing as a part of it, too, that will also, as we listen to different pieces of music based on hymns for the Epiphany season, we can appreciate that music more when we also sing a couple of stanzas of those hymns. So it'll be a little bit of a hymn sing as well this afternoon, a kind of a combination of a recital concept and the hymn festival concept. We've experienced those both, kind of combining them into one concept for our concert or our recital this afternoon. Join us at 4 o'clock. Bring your music-loving friends and neighbors and anybody else. We'd love to fill up the church for that recital at 4 o'clock. The season of Lent is coming quickly upon us. It's just a week and a half away. There's more information about it in the service booklet. But in a week and a half, on February 18, we'll start our first of six Wednesday services for Lent. Worship begins at 7 o'clock, preceded by dinner in the gym at 5:30, and we invite your participation in those services as well. Third and final thing to highlight, again, the voters' meeting, which was originally scheduled for next Sunday, has been moved 1 week later. The usher is handing something back. There's a chart, the picture thing. Thank you for reminding me. Take a look at the announcement in the service booklet about our new member directory slash app. Slash online directory, a directory that you could even have on your smartphone. We need people to sign up for that to indicate how you would like to provide a picture for us. You might be able to just email a picture of your family that you've taken. This is a little more casual situation, it's a little more flexible situation so that you don't have to wait 5 years to update your family photo. You can update it every week if you really wanted to. But we're working on a new member directory, and it will be available in print form, but it will also be available digitally. And it would be a very handy, useful resource, but we need to know how you'd like to provide us that picture, whether you'd like to have one taken here or provide it via email. There's a chart on the left table as you exit the center aisle. On the left table, please indicate how you'd like to participate in that directory program that would help out our Board of Adult Discipleship for making that happen. It's on both sides. Go to either table. It's on both sides. Thank you for sharing that information. Let's take a look at the Wells Connection video for this month.